God be praised. Hallelujah. God be praised. Thank you. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, praise team, for leading us to lift up the name of the Lord in song. Amen. Amen. Grateful you took us back. Amen. Amen. I love the songs of old. Amen. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love you so much. We're grateful for your precious blood that was shed on Calvary for us. We thank you because of your blood, we have a right relationship with you. We have fellowship with you. And certainly, oh God, you walk with us as our guide and our comfort and our strength. So we're grateful to worship you today in spirit and in truth. And thank you that we were able to lift up hands and hearts as we sung praises to you, thanking you for all that you've done for us on Calvary. Now, God, it's preaching time. In particular, we ask again that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. Touch, oh God, these lips of clay, that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And, oh God, we pray that you speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor which is already yours. It is in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus we do pray. And together every child of God said amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name, bless his name, bless his name. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord. And those of you who've been following along with us know that we've been in a series out of the book of First Thessalonians, and those of you who've been walking with us these few weeks know that we are in the fourth chapter. And if you have your Bibles, I pray you would turn with me to that fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and we'll read in our hearing verses 9 through 12. Verses 9 through 12. Amen. 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 It reads as follows, verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you're doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your own hands as we have instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. I just want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit, a walk in harmony, a walk in harmony, walking in harmony, walking in harmony. My brothers and sisters, thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's thank God for our praise team and our musicians again. Amen. 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 Donovan, just a little bit more. I'm sorry. Amen. Out of these. Walking in harmony. In his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, Chuck Swindoll writes, "The world needs men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who puts character above wealth, who are larger than their vocation, men and women who will be honest in the small things as in the great things, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everyone else does it. The world needs men and women who are true to their friends through good report and evil report, in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness, cunning, and hard-headedness are the best qualities for winning success. The world needs men and women who are not ashamed or afraid to stand for truth when it's unpopular, who can say no with emphasis, and although all the rest of the world says yes. Listen, beloved, I like that because the truth is the world needs men and women who will ascribe to be different. We shared that on last week when we talked, the last 2 weeks when we talked about a walk in holiness, but it is the same ideal concept and thought as we come to this place today where we talk about walking in harmony. It is to be a difference among us, if you would. Someone has said it like this: every person has three names. One, his father gives him, one others call him, and one he acquires all by himself. The question that we ask today is, what is the name that we are being called by, the one in which we acquired on our own? Is it a name that is synonymous with harmony and togetherness and unity? Is it a name that, beloved, is called, that we are called by? Is it a name that is synonymous with getting along and working together and walking together? The truth of the matter is, beloved, that's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 9, chapter 4, 9 through 12, talks of Paul, admonishes us, he gives a crash course on what it means to walk in harmony. We need to learn, beloved, to continue to walk in harmony. Paul has already admonished them and gave them kudos for the fact that they're showing love and showing harmony. And he returns to the word where he says, do it more and more. The ideal, beloved, is that we are to excel, we are to exceed walking in harmony. As you know, this whole entire series has been entitled Until He Returns. It is based on the church being at its best until Christ's return. And when you come to these verses of our text, we are admonished to be humble people and honest people. We are encouraged to be a harmonious people. What does it mean to walk in harmony? Well, you ask good questions. This will be part one. We'll pick it up when we come to church on next Sunday, part two, walking in harmony. As we consider these verses, I really see two things that should be listed in every Christian walk. First of all, when you walk in harmony, you must love right. That's the text. And then next week, we'll talk about live right. He says, love right. In other words, in our last study, Paul focused on chastity. But in this study, when we pick up the ninth verse, he talks about charity. We read in verse 9, now considering brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves, watch the word, he says, have been taught by God to love one another. These Thessalonian believers were no strangers to the subject of love. It was evident throughout the book that they held a deep love for the Word of God, the man of God, and for the saints of God. However, Paul begins to challenge them, watch this, to continue to make loving one another one of their top priorities of the Christian walk. The challenge to love right in the text is demonstrated by three ways. First, love here is a revealed love. Revealed love. Write that down somewhere. It is a revealed love. The love of which Paul speaks of in this text was not new to these believers. In fact, he says in verse 9 that for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. The phrase taught by God is a compound Greek word, theos, theodidactos, which literally means God taught. In other words, this love was the work of God in their heart, set in motion as an operation of the Holy Spirit. It is God taught. It is taught by God. It's a plural noun that establishes a close connection, watch this, between the instructor and a pupil. It is based upon our relationship with God. In other words, it is a close connection between the one who is saying the words, the one who's teaching, and the one who is being taught. It commences with God. It continues with God. And the truth is, beloved, it ought to conclude with God. It shows that loving one another is a teaching that is God-originated teaching. Are you listening to me? And again, this is not a new truth to these Thessalonian believers. They could not plead ignorance, unfamiliarity. They could not say that they were oblivious or unaware regarding the matter of love. God had communicated, demonstrated, and God had initiated love to them. It was a revealed love. Let me see if I can give you a window to see through. Listen, a certain medieval monk announced that he would be preaching Sunday evening on the love of God. And as evening came and shadows fell, the light ceased to come through the cathedral windows, the congregation began to gather, and in the darkness of the altar, the monk lighted a candle and carried it to the crucifix of Christ. There he illuminated with the candle the crown of thorns on Christ's head. Next, he went to the wounded hands of Christ. And then he went to the spear in the side of Christ. Listen, a holy hush fell over that crowd. He blew out the candle and left the sanctuary. Why? Because when it came to love, the cross of Christ had said it all, and there was nothing else to be said. Hear me, and hear me good, beloved. Hear me, beloved, because listen, when it comes to looking at the cross as it relates to God's revealed love to mankind, there is nothing else need to be said. When we look at the cross and recognize what Christ did for us on Calvary, that he died for us, for our sins. And because he died for us, we now have a right relationship with Jesus, with God. And we ought to give thanks to God. We ought to recognize that if we want to know how much God loves us, we ought to just look to the cross. I wish somebody would help me. It is that Romans chapter 5 verse 8 principle where it says God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to shout somebody right there, because the truth of the matter is, you and when you recognize just how sinful we were and when we came into this world, and yet somebody was willing to die in our place, and it was nobody but Jesus Christ himself. I wish I had time to let you shout just a little bit. I wish I had a few moments to let you lift your hands up and tell God, thank you. I'm grateful that you died on Calvary. You revealed your love to me when you died on Calvary in my stead. That's why we sing, down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Somebody shout glory to his name. It's a revealed love. That's what he says. It was God taught. God revealed it to them. God taught them. It is the ideal that God simply showed up on Calvary and died for them. He revealed this love. But also, this kind of love, hear me, church, ought to be
a reciprocal love. This particular love, which Paul speaks of, is an amazing love. It is referred to as brotherly love. It is where we get our word Philadelphia from, the city of brotherly love. It is a family term, if you would, to speak of the love that is shared among family members. And I know some of y'all say, well, I ain't got that much love in my family. Pookie, Ray Ray, Mama Nim, and Little Earl been working my last nerve. Hear me, beloved. The ideal is that we love them, but it ain't the ideal that we got to like them. Amen, somebody. Help me, somebody. A.W. Roberts said the word means love of those actually kin by blood. And listen, I just already told you, it was the blood of Christ that draws us together. It is a fragrant love. It's a fruitful love. It is a family kind of love. And we are drawn together by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And it ought to be reciprocal. It is the kind of love that binds our hearts together as the family of God. God had revealed it to his people, and he expected it to be reciprocated among his people. And listen, I know it is not always easy. As I said, I think of the little poem that goes like this: to love the world to me is no chore. My only problem is my neighbor next door. Listen, someone else said it like this: to dwell above with the saints in love, indeed that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. Listen, beloved, we laugh, but the truth is, this kind of love that Christ talks about, that Paul talks about in the text, is not an easy love. It's not easily reciprocated. However, I do believe that the love we have for one another ought to be a family kind of love. In other words, we ought to love each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord. We ought to love each other as family of the faith. We ought to love each other with the koinonia, the fellowship. Come on, somebody help me. It's a family matter. And the truth of the matter is, beloved, I've come to discover that we ought to love each other in spite of whatever is going on in our own life. It is a badge of Christianity that we have this kind of love for one another. John chapter 13, verse 35, put it plainly when Jesus says, "By this all men shall know that you are my disciples if you got love for one another." You see, beloved, love wins the day every day, and love ought to be the order of the day. Listen, Peter's Proverbs says that love overcomes, ought to overcome an entire gamut of problems. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Hatred stirs strife, but love covers all offenses." If I love you, come on, somebody help me, it ought to cover whatever offense you've done to me. Listen, Peter echoes the words in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, where he says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Get the text. Get what Peter said, that we got to earnestly keep on loving one another because love covers a multitude of sin. I know I'm right about it because somebody can testify that there have been people in our life that literally have messed us over, done us wrong, but we still love them. Come on, somebody help me. And listen, beloved, I discovered that real love always finds a way through the maze of complex issues and the tangled web of life's complicated circumstances. In other words, no matter what is going on in somebody else's life, love has a way of showing up on the scene. Are you listening to me? Real love, the love that is God taught, listen, that kind of love accepts a person for whom they are and what they are. They don't try to just change them right off the bat. They learn how to accept people for who they are. It has been revealed to us, and God desires for us to reciprocate that love. The issue is whether or not we like someone. I said it before, because you have not been commanded to like them. Come on, help me. But you have been commanded to love them. We've been commanded to love, not to like. You see, I'm sorry to bust your spiritual bubble and the halo over your head, but listen, you don't have to like someone in order to love someone. I know I'm right about it. Let's be honest. There's a whole lot about one another that we don't like. Matter of fact, there's a whole lot about ourselves we don't like. Are you listening to me? I'll go another further. You can't live your life trying to make everybody like you. Can I say that again? You can't live your life, if you're out there listening to me, you can't live your life trying to make everybody like you. Are you listening to me? That's what social media is all about. How many likes we get, or how many folk like our content, or how many folk are following us. That makes us somebody just because they like what we put on social media. But the truth of the matter is, beloved, let me just throw this in for free. Don't be mad at folk, listen, just because they may not like you. Are you hearing me? You may not be their cup of tea. They may not like the way you roll. Your swag might be too thick for them. I wish somebody would help me. Or your essence might be a bit overwhelming, but it's okay, beloved, because God never said everybody gonna like you, even in church. I wish somebody would help me. But we don't have to like, we have to love. I don't like what you do. I don't like how you come at me. I don't like how you roll. Come on, somebody help me, but I got to love you. Are you listening to me? Because if we gonna walk in harmony, it has to be a reciprocal love. We've got to learn to love one another. Right in the comments section, right there while you're listening to me, I ain't got to like you, but I gotta love you. Come on, somebody help me. Somebody else right in there, you ain't got to like me, but you got to love me. I know you may not like my persnickety ways. You may not like how I roll. My swag might be too thick for you, but listen, beloved, my essence may be overwhelming, but you ain't got to like me. But baby girl, brother, man, homeboy, homegirl, you got to love me. Come on, somebody help me. And likewise, we got to love one another. Listen, let me tell you this little thing real quick. Lucian himself, a professed atheist, hear me, beloved, said in AD 192, he said, it's incredible to see the fervor with which the people of Christianity help each other in their wants. He goes on to say, they spare nothing simply because their first legislator, Jesus Christ, had put it in their hearts that they are brethren. In other words, we are the family of faith, and even this agnostic acknowledged how the church of old loved on one another. Let me ask you this question right here. I think it's appropriate. How will we ever convince our community of the love of Christ if we, who profess to be Christians, cannot get along with each other or show mad love to one another? Loving one another is not always an easy matter, but is always an expected matter. I am expected to love. Let me just ask you one more question. How have you been doing in this area of love? Have you been going out of your way to show love to the body of believers you call your family? Have you showed love to your brothers and sisters in the faith during this pandemic? It has been a great opportunity for us to shower and to show love to those who were in need of just a little bit of love. Has it been only about you, or is it about others. It's a revealed love, and that revealed love must be reciprocated love because it is a repeated love. Here it is. God the Father taught us to love. He gave us his Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on Calvary. God the Son taught us to love when he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." God the Holy Spirit teaches us to love when he shed the love of God abroad in our heart. Paul's desire for the believers, hear me, regarding their love for one another, is that in verse 10 he says, "For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia." But here's what he says. "We urge you, brothers, to do this more and more." He said this same phrase in verse 1. He goes on to say it again in verse 10. When he talked about walking to please God or walk in holiness, he says, "I know you're doing it, but you need to do it more and more. You need to do it more and more." And when he comes to verse 10, he says again, when it talks about a walk in harmony, he says, "I know you're doing it. You're showing mad love to those folk all around in Macedonia, but I'm urging you," he says, "to do it more and more." A revealed love that is a reciprocal love is a love that keeps on loving. It is a repeated love. I hope somebody hears me. You can't just do one thing and think you done did yourself a favor by showing love to somebody. It is a repeated love. It is doing it more and more. This revealed love and reciprocal love ought to be repeated every day of our life. It's a love that is to be known and shown, but it also must be grown. We got to grow this kind of love. We must love, the text says, more and more. Truth is, beloved, this kind of love never reaches the stage of completion or perfection. This kind of love ought to never come to an end in the life of the believer. We must continue to strive to be more and more loving. We ought to excel in love for each other. We ought to go above and beyond when it comes to love. We ought to love each other more abundantly. Are you hearing me? And thus, beloved, when we do that, we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed, beloved, that animals do not distinctly what is necessary to keep them alive and safe? For example, fish do not attend classes to learn how to swim. They even though they swim in school, they don't go to school to learn to swim. Likewise, birds do not take a course to learn how to spread their wings and fly. Nature determines action. Can I say that again? Nature determines action. Because a fish has a fish nature, it swims. Because a bird has a bird nature, listen, beloved, it flies. Therefore, because we are Christian, because we know the Lord, because we are God's child, we are kingdom kids. Are you listening to me? The truth is, we've got the nature of God. Because he loves, he is the God of love. He is the God who loves. And because we got his nature, beloved, you can have too much money. You can have too many blue strips, a Skrilla. You can have too many possessions, too much power or popularity. We can have an overabundance of material goods. We can have too many cars and too many houses and too much land. And hear me, beloved, but we can never have too much love. Can I say that again? You can't have enough love. You can't give enough love. You can't show enough love, because God is love. It is his nature to love. And because we want to be like him, we got to learn how to show love to one another. As believers, we should repeatedly reciprocate the love of God that had been revealed to us. It should increase more and more. We ought to be more loving today than we was yesterday. We ought to be more loving today than we were 2 days ago. It ought to increase. We ought to walk love and live love, and we ought to show mad love to one another so that the world might know that we are King's kids. Are you listening to me? We ought to excel in loving one another. Every time we assemble together, every time we see each other, every time we come in contact with one another, with the brethren, we ought to shower mad love on one another. Where there's a need, we ought to show love. When there people are in trouble, we ought to show love. When life gets difficult, and it will, we need love. Where is LL Cool J when you need him? I need love. I wish somebody would help me. I'm not ashamed to say it. I need love, and the truth of the matter is we all need love. So Paul says that if we're going to walk in harmony, he is challenging us to love right, that we ought to shower love. We ought to do it more and more simply because of what Christ revealed to us on Calvary. I wish I could shout you this morning by simply telling you, like the old preacher used to say, he showed us love simply because he died on a hill called Calvary. And the old preacher used to say he didn't stay dead. He went into the tomb, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. I wish somebody would help me. They say he died. He died before the moon dripped like blood. He died. I wish somebody would help me. To the dead in Jerusalem got up out of the grave. He died until the centurion said, surely this must be the Son of God. Listen, beloved, they put him in that borrowed tomb, but bright early, woo, Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand to show me just how much he loved me. And if you have been revealed the love of God in your heart, I won't shout, I won't just go crazy real quick. I just want you to give God some praise up in here. We ought to say, God, I thank you for revealing that love. God, help me to reciprocate that love and help me to be more loving today than I was yesterday. We ought to walk love and live love and show love and shower love simply because God loved us first. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, I'll close by telling you this little poem that goes like this. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way, that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer is for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and to know that all I do for you must be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep in all in vain. May efforts be to rise again unless I live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I won while thinking still of others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live my life like thee. We ought to show love. It has been revealed to us. We ought to reciprocate that love. And beloved, we ought to repeat that love, that we are growing more and more and more in the area of love. How are you doing in that area? Are you showing love just to those that look lovable to you? What are we doing to show that kind of love to this community, this city, this state, this world? Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, again, we've been challenged in the area of brotherly love. This is a love between family and a love between those that are connected by blood. And we praise you for the blood that was shed for us on Calvary that connects us together. Lord, we pray that this place, these people, this church is a beacon of love that sits in the heart of Oak Park, that all that come from near and far may experience your magnificent love that was shed for us on Calvary. We pray that we are your chosen vessels. We pray that you hide us behind self, that we may do your will and your work, that we may forget about our own needs so that we can help others. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you can do. And we pray that your love is made manifest in our life in a very tangible way. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And together, every child of God shouted, amen. Amen. Listen, beloved, you might be here, and I want to just extend the invitation to the one. Perhaps you have not experienced the love of God in your life. Perhaps you're out there and you say, well, I'm trying to connect to a family of faith. Listen, beloved, there is a number that is going to flash across the screen. And in a world that can be so mean and a world that can mistreat individuals, somebody out there, you might need to experience a greater love than what the world has to offer. There is a love of God that somehow or another helps us to understand what else is going on in the world. There's a love of God to where we recognize we don't walk alone in this world. There's people, and God has placed his spirit for us to guide us, to comfort us, and to strengthen us. And perhaps you're out there and you say, I don't know about this love, but I really want to know. Listen, call that number and someone will pick up that line. They're going to lead you through the word of God and let you know what it means to have a relationship with God, to experience this kind of love. But also, if you're out there, you say, I need to connect. I'm out isolated. I'm out there. I don't have a family of faith. I know the Lord, but I don't have a family of faith that can help to strengthen me and to guide me. Call that same number, and that person will walk you through on what it means to be part of this church family. And I call it a family because that's the ideal of our text. It's a brotherly love. It's a family kind of love. And it's the idea where the believer says, when mother and father forsake me, God took me up. And I know that there are people out there that need to connect with other individuals who think like you, who want to live like you and walk like you. And let me just tell you, you might find a church just as good as St. Paul, but you ain't going to find one any better. Amen. Walk in harmony. We're praying for you, and we pray that you make your choice even now. Let me pray for you. Most gracious and eternal Father, if there's someone who needs to make a decision today, I pray you move upon their heart. I pray you help us as the people of God to be the kind of people that please you. Touch them, oh God, that even as they attempt or think about being part of this fellowship, we pray your spirit may move upon them and guide them as only you can by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. Praise God. It is our first Sunday. It is the Sunday in which we honor one of the ordinances of the church. It is the time where we, what we call the Lord's Supper. We know that when Jesus was in the upper room, he took bread and broke it and asked his disciples to, he prayed for and asked his disciples to eat. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the fruit of the vine and asked his Father to bless it, gave it to his disciples, said, take, drink, this is my blood that is shed for the remission of sins. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And we know that we take this communion to remember what Christ did for us. It is the same ideal that we thought when we talked about his revealed love, what he did for us on Calvary. He died for us, and the believer ought to remember what Christ did for us. It ought to always be in the forefront of our mind, simply because we are who we are because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. And then secondly, we know that communion is a time of repentance. Listen, the Bible says that a man ought to examine himself. And I don't know about you. I'll be honest. There are things God told me to do that I left undone. And there are things God told me not to do. And those are the very things I found myself doing. But I'm grateful that we have a God who is a forgiving God. And I can carry, the Bible says, my sins to him. And he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So it's a time of repentance. It's a time that we can say, okay, Lord, I haven't lived up to the mark. And I'm making a solemn pledge to rededicate, recommit my life, even during this hour of communion. Secondly, thirdly, it is a time of reconciliation, simply because you can't come to this hour remembering what Christ did for us, forgiving us of our sins, and we're holding an ought against our brother and sister. Listen, if Christ forgave us, communion is a good time to show some mad forgiveness for somebody else. And I'm not ignoring the fact that they hurt you. I'm not ignoring the fact that they did you wrong or whatever. I get that. But what I'm simply saying is that if we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, the truth is this. It doesn't hurt the one we're not forgiving. It hurts us. Bitterness and strife hang on into our spirit. And we got to learn how to let that go. Let it go. Let it go. And I know I'm not trying to be flippant about it. I'm just simply suggesting that we got to learn how to forgive. We got to walk through forgiveness when it comes to communion. But then lastly, it's a time of remembrance, time of repentance, time of reconciliation, but it is a time of rejoicing. Listen, if I could, I would. I'd shout to the rooftop about the goodness of God in my life. I don't know about you, but who I am is simply all because of Christ. What I know God taught me and where I've been, it has been God who has taken me. I shout on moments like this when I think about the goodness of the Lord in my life, when I think about how God had blessed me beyond measure, even when I did not deserve it. I can't help but to rejoice because of my relationship with him. I wish I had five of y'all out there on the web or even in this sanctuary. I know it's time to go, but let's just give God some praise right here. Let's just rejoice, shout hallelujah, and say glory to his name. Because we know, had it not been for the Lord, we on our side, we'd be toe up from the flow up. So we eat together, brothers and sisters. This bread represents his body. Let us eat together. And the fruit of the vine represents his shed blood. Brothers and sisters, let us drink together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, let's give him some praise. 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 Amen. Just two quick reminders and I'll let you go. Listen, we will be reopening next Sunday at 10 a.m. I pray that you have registered. And if you have not registered, we will not be turning anyone away. I want you to come with your prayer shoes on and your praise in your heart. I want us to have a great time in the Lord. We're going to come and see some folk we hadn't seen in a while. And we're going to come to give God all glory, honor, and praise. It's going to be a good time in the Lord. And I pray you're ready to come back to church. I know I am. I'm ready to come back to church. I'm ready to see you. I'm ready to fist bump you. I wish somebody would help me and elbow bump you. I'm ready to show some mad love to the folk of St. Paul and friends. Come on out and worship with us next Sunday. But then also note that we are having Thanksgiving service as well. I'm grateful because I probably would have been trying to get tickets to go to the Cowboys game, but I need to be here to give God thanks for what he has allowed us to experience and to go through throughout this year. Let's come together as a family. And before we carve that turkey, before we carve that ham, eat that dressing, those collard greens, those yams. Whew, help me hear somebody. Let's come give God thanks for his goodness and his praise. Your Quincy is going to come. I'm going to say a quick word of prayer. She's going to come and close us out in a marvelous way in song. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before his throne of grace. Unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore, and every child of God shouted amen. 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 Come on, let's receive Quincy.
Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus.
Come on, bless that wonderful name.